All right, everybody, we have some breaking news. The trilateral negotiations happening in Islamabad, Pakistan, between the United States, Iran, and Pakistan itself as the mediator, have already stalled out over the core issue of the Strait of Hormuz. The reporting from the Financial Times that just came in is Iran is insisting on retaining control over the Strait of Hormuz and imposing a passage fee on ships, and the negotiations have stalled out due to this ask from Iran. Now, when I saw the headline that Vice President J.D. Vance was going to be leading this delegation, I thought to myself, what are we doing here, man? The only way this could get worse is if you sent Trump's son-in-law or something like that. And then I learned Trump did send his son-in-law as well. So we have Vice President J.D. Vance representing us in these high-stakes negotiations. We have Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, representing us in these high-stakes negotiations. And then Trump added in Steve Witkoff, real estate developer, and his special envoy, who has already been a part of the failed negotiations time and time again with Iran. Now, I want to talk about the negotiations. I want to talk about the stakes here and the way that it's stalling out right now after the expert level stage had been reached. The expert level stage is when specialized committees start meeting with each other. Committees in economic, military, legal issues, they have specialties there. So if we're talking about enriched uranium and J.D. Vance and Ghalibaf don't quite have the understanding necessary, they call in their special committees. And we were making some progress there until we stalled out at the Strait of Hormuz. Let's break all of this down. Make sure you drop a like on this video to help boost the pro-democracy message. There's a lot of lies. There are a lot of lies out there on the internet constantly being spewed by right-wingers. So it's nice that we're building a community where we can punch back, tell the truth, and fight for a better future. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed if you want to join that community. All right, let's break down these negotiations at a high level. The United States and Iran have begun their highest level direct talks in almost 50 years since the 1979 Islamic Revolution in a bid to end their more than 5-week war that has spread across the entire Middle East. Honestly, the entire world has been affected. The entire world is now rationing energy due to the crisis that has been created. The U.S. delegation, led by Vice President J.D. Vance, consists of Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, while Mohammad Ghalibaf, one of Iran's senior wartime leaders and the Speaker of Iran's parliament that has been trolling Trump online, he is leading the delegation from the Islamic Republic. Pakistan's Army Chief Field Azim Manour, who has a close relationship with U.S. President Trump as well as senior leaders in Iran, mediated the face-to-face meeting between the top officials from both countries, according to the Financial Times, which is sourcing this meeting today. Now, this is very, very clearly a desperate off-ramp from the Trump administration, which inherently puts Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and all Americans by extension in a weaker negotiation position. Trump is the one who has been begging for this peace talk, begging for some sort of negotiations, begging for Iran to come to the table, even going so far as threatening genocide on their entire civilization. And now that they're there, the talks are reportedly hitting a stalemate. Matt Iglesias points out, I know we just accept this as normal now, but the United States side of the peace talks is led by the vice president, the president's son-in-law, and some real estate guy. And I was listening to some analysis that was talking about how Donald Trump just sending J.D. Vance is actually a position of weakness from the starting point. It's very clear that Donald Trump is desperately searching for an off-ramp that can allow the United States to just back off and declare victory. In doing so, J.D. Vance will likely have to concede some things the United States wouldn't have had to concede in other realities, like tolling of the Strait of Hormuz. Maybe Iran gets de facto control of certain passageways in the Strait of Hormuz. That would lose us a lot of ground, a lot of money, and a lot of face on the global stage. Here's John Bolton explaining how J.D. Vance could come out of this meeting as Neville Chamberlain if he cedes too much ground, or he could come out even worse if the war reignites. You know, I saw this funny post the other day. It said, Donald Trump somehow, after threatening to destroy an entire civilization, then backing off and giving Iran the Strait of Hormuz, Donald Trump somehow managed to be both Hitler and Neville Chamberlain in the same negotiation. It's an unprecedented feat. He threatened to genocide people, then he gave so much ground and he was so passive and he gave so much appeasement, that it was for the worse, all in the same negotiation. Wow. Let's check out what John Bolton has to say about this.
Look, I think the ceasefire was a mistake. I think it gives the Iranians a breathing space. I think it benefits them. And I think that if Vance is going to convey the same sense of panic that Trump conveys by his erratic behavior, I think that could just harden the Iranian position. So it's not clear to me there's going to be really any prospect for progress. I don't think J.D. Vance wants to come back from this meeting as the Neville Chamberlain of this conflict. So he's constrained in many respects, but he also knows what Trump wants. He wants a way out. And I think Vance will try and find it.
Yep. And in finding a way out, he'll put us in a position of weakness. Listen, I think ceasefires are good. I think when any side stops firing, that's for the better. But it's also very important that when a ceasefire happens, it's under conditions that won't re-spark a war. So, for example, Ukraine had to reject a quote-unquote ceasefire from Russia multiple times. But that's because this Russian ceasefire would have just been a lie. It allowed Vladimir Putin to rearm, to regain exactly what Russia needs to continue this war. We do not want something like that happening. So J.D. Vance is in a very precarious spot, and likelihood is he will mess this up. We know that J.D. Vance has been against this war, so much so that he likely has been leaking articles about how much he was against this war. So here is the reporting, and here's the timeline. J.D. Vance wasn't there for the first round of, you know, this pitch for the war when Netanyahu came in early February. But then later in February, J.D. Vance said he has reservations about this war. He does not want this war to happen. But if the war is going to happen, it needs to happen swiftly, assertively, and we need to show strength. So it needs to be in and out in 4 days, you know, just very quickly show strength and leave, which, okay, I guess makes more sense than whatever the hell we're stuck in now, 5 weeks later. But then J.D. Vance, after the war started, was quiet. He didn't really say much. Usually he's being an asshole on Twitter and gloating and, you know, making fun of Renee Nicole Good, calling her a domestic terrorist, whatever vile behavior he engages in. It's usually pretty open. This time, he didn't say much about this war, indicating that he was more against this than other people. Then we have an article that leaks from people close to J.D. Vance, sources that are anonymous, but they are close to J.D. Vance. And they say that J.D. Vance was the person mainly against this war from the very beginning, which is a very clear leak from J.D. Vance in an attempt to salvage his 2028 chances. I mean, it's interesting. At the beginning of this war, we were all saying, at least I was saying on this channel, Donald Trump seems to be favoring Marco Rubio and seems to think Marco Rubio has a steadier hand. But if this war continues in the manner it has been and the ceasefire continues to fall through, then Marco Rubio doesn't have much of a political future either. This war is going to define the political future of many of these Republicans involved. And right now, the breaking news we have, according to the Financial Times, is that U.S.-Iran negotiations in Pakistan have hit a stalemate over control of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, it's also worth pointing out some U.S. Navy vessels have begun to clear mines in the strait so that people could go through it. But at this point, I just don't think that the United States has the leverage necessary to declare victory on any of this. Iran still has major missile capacity, as we learned from CNN. They still have enriched uranium. They have the knowledge on how to build nukes. The regime is still there. It's more radical. An 86-year-old Khamenei was killed, and now his 30-year younger son, who is more radical, is in place. I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing the victory here. The White House pool on Islamabad talks, per a senior White House official. We got the core delegation, J.D. Vance, VP, Steve Witkoff, and Jared Kushner. The broader delegation is Dr. Andrew Baker, who is the Deputy National Security Advisor to the President, Michael Vance, Special Advisor to the Vice President for Asian Affairs, and a full suite of U.S. experts on relevant subject areas are present. Iran then submitted its four red lines for peace talks with the United States. Number one, they need authority over the Strait of Hormuz. That is a red line they are not willing to give up. Number two, they want payment of war reparations. Holy shit, we have to pay tens of billions of dollars to a country that we deem, that Donald Trump calls, dishonest terrorists, right? So we have to give them all the money back, and that's one of their red lines. Three, unfreezing all blocked Iranian financial assets. Holy shit. Four, securing a comprehensive regional ceasefire. In-person negotiations are ongoing. This seems like it would just be a worse version of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that was negotiated by Obama than tore up by Trump. This is just a worse version of it.
I think it's a mistake to send the vice president. I think that's too close to the president himself. He's part of the White House. I think the Secretary of State would have been a better choice. But Iran specifically asked for J.D. Vance, and that is a big problem. You don't let your adversary pick your negotiation team. But they picked him clearly because if you read the leaks in the American press, Vance was an opponent of this war. And so I think the spotlight will be on him. You're quite correct. He doesn't have experience in these kinds of negotiations. He's got presumably some kind of instructions from Trump, but who knows how specific they are. So we'll see what happens. I don't anticipate, even though the ceasefire really is not effective at this point, the Strait of Hormuz is still basically closed. I don't expect any change, though, until they actually do meet on Saturday. If
I had to guess, Trump isn't very confident in J.D. Vance either. Now, the one actor that isn't really being talked about in this equation right now is Israel. So we have trilateral negotiations between the United States, Iran, and then Pakistan as a negotiator, the mediator, rather. Is Israel just going to continue to fire on Lebanon, Iran, and countries in the region? Is Israel going to continue to invade and try to grab land in countries in the region? There needs to be serious talks about this. We're going to talk about this more on the Adam Mockler feed. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe if you appreciate these videos. I love you all. Peace out.